This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the 2024 NHL Draft on the home of the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The 2024 NHL Draft on WQAM is fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Here is the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Hour number three of the annual Florida Panthers 560 WQAM Draft Spectacular. I am Doug Plagans, Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. Two eventful hours in the books, and well, we're with you up until 10 o'clock Eastern, talking about the draft, talking about the Panther season that was, talking about the Stanley Cup Championship, letting you know the parade's coming up on Sunday, 11 o'clock, A1A, Fort Lauderdale. Go on to FloridaPanthers.com. The map's there. All the particulars are there. All the info's there. You don't want to miss any of it. FloridaPanthers.com to get yourself up to speed on what's going on as far as the festivities coming up on Sunday. You don't want to miss any of that. Programming note coming up tomorrow, the final edition of the Panthers Insider Show for this season. So that's coming up tomorrow, 9 a.m. Don't miss it here on 560 WQAM. And on that note, big thanks to all of our Panthers Radio Network affiliates for another job well done this season. And big thanks to everybody for helping us bring Panthers hockey to everybody across the territory, whether it's our friends up in the Palm Beaches at Real Radio 92.1 or down in the Keys at 100.3 Thunder Country or Real Radio 101.7 up on the Treasure Coast. I know we've got friends down in the Keys. Dougie tuned in right now down there in the Keys. So again, big thanks to everybody who had a hand in getting Panthers hockey out there to everybody over the course of this season. But right now, here on the Panthers flagship home, 560 WQAM, taking you up to 10 o'clock here in the Eastern time zone. Coming up this segment, We are going to relive all the series clinchers the Panthers had. We'll get to those in just a moment after we update you on what's going on in the NHL draft out at Sphere in Vegas as round one continues along. Speaking of the draft, coming up next segment, Jameson Olive is going to join us from out in Vegas. We'll get his thoughts on the presentation of everything out at Sphere. We'll relive game seven with him. We'll talk about everything else that's going on. Again, free agency getting ready to get going, coming up in just a couple of days. The second day of the draft, of course, is tomorrow. And the Panthers, I've mentioned this a handful of times, but there's a preseason game less than 3 months away. This is going to fly by as far as the offseason goes. So, again, lots to look at from the season that was, looking ahead. Jameson's going to join us coming up in segment number two here of hour number three. Again, with you up until 10 o'clock here in the Eastern time zone. Draft picks that have been made so far. San Jose at number one, Macklin Celebrini. That was a foregone conclusion. Everybody saw that coming. At number two, Chicago picked defenseman Artem Levchinov. At number three, Anaheim took right winger Beckett Senecky of Oshawa, the Ontario Hockey League. Columbus at the fourth pick took Caden Lindstrom, center from Medicine Hat in the Western Hockey League. Montreal at the fifth overall pick chose left winger Ivan Demidov from St. Petersburg. Out in Russia, the sixth overall pick, the first pick ever made by the Utah Hockey Club, Tej Aginla, son of Hockey Hall of Famer, longtime NHLer Jerome Aginla out of Kelowna, the Western Hockey League. He is a left winger. He went sixth overall. The seventh pick to Ottawa, Carter Yakimchuk, a defenseman out of Calgary in the Western Hockey League. Seattle chose center Berkeley Catton from Spokane of the Western Hockey League at number eight. Calgary at number nine chose defenseman Zane Parekh from Saginaw of the Ontario Hockey League. At number 10, New Jersey chose defenseman Anton Siliev out of Nizhny Novgorod over in the KHL. That's where he's playing over in Russia. The 11th pick, San Jose chose defenseman Sam Dickinson from London of the Ontario Hockey League. Now, there was a trade involved between Minnesota and Philadelphia involving the 12th and 13th picks. The Wild moved up to 12 from 13. They traded their 13th pick as well as a third-round pick to Philadelphia so that the Wild could jump up to 12, and they chose defenseman Zeev Buyam from Denver of the NCAA ranks. That was the 12th overall pick to the Wild. And number 13, Philadelphia chose center Jet Luchenko from Guelph of the Ontario Hockey League. At number 14, Buffalo chose center Konsta Hellenius out of Finland. Number 15 pick, the Red Wings, an Atlantic Division team. They chose right winger Michael Brandsig Nygaard out of Sweden. And the most recent pick made, the St. Louis Blues selected defenseman Adam Juracek out of the Czech League. So 16 picks in the books, halfway through round one. The Washington Capitals are the team currently on the clock. Number 17, followed by the Blackhawks, the Golden Knights, and the Islanders rounding out the top 20. The Canadiens, Predators, Leafs, Avalanche, and Bruins picks 21 to 25. LA at 26, Carolina 27, and then Calgary at 28, Dallas at 29, the Rangers at 30, Anaheim at 31, and the Flyers have the Panthers pick at number 32. So that is how the rest of the first round lines up. The picks the Panthers have, third round, number 97, that'll be the Panthers' first pick as far as things currently stand. Fourth round at number 129, the fifth round at number 141, the sixth round at number 193, and the Panthers will pick 225th overall in the seventh round. So as things currently stand, the Panthers have picks in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds. That's a catch-up on what's going on in the NHL draft out at Sphere in Vegas. Again, the draft currently ongoing, and right now it's the Washington Capitals who are on the clock, and we await their first-round selection, 17th overall. Let's get into some montages now, some highlights. We're reliving a lot of what happened on the Stanley Cup run, and right now we are going to go back and play back all the series clinchers from the Panthers playoff run, starting with game five against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was a 6-1 win way back, and I know this feels like forever ago because it was. Tomorrow it'll be 2 months ago. April 29th, the Panthers won game five over Tampa Bay and moved on to round two. Here are the highlights as they aired on Panthers Radio.
Verhaeghe into the offensive end. Pulls up inside the line. Looks to the far circle. Barkov. Verhaeghe high. Slot a shot. Vasilevskiy made the save. Verhaeghe the rebound. He scores. Connor Verhaeghe picked up his own rebound. And the Panthers strike first. 45 seconds into the second. It's 1-0. Now it's Forsling to Ekblad. The line. Long drive. Rebound. They score. And it's Barkov picking up the rebound. And the Panthers take a 2-0 lead. Barkov jams home the rebound. A shorthanded goal. Up the right side, Verhaeghe to the circle. Nifty move. Just had it poked away by Sergachev. Verhaeghe recovers. Over in the far corner. A shot toward the net. Bouncy in front. They score. They score. It was poked at in front. And the Panthers take a 3-1 lead with 8:54 to go. Here in this third period, Matthew Tkachuk looked like he reached in. He was out front with Barkov. They were both whacking away. It looks like it was Barkov who got the last contact with it. The Panthers stretch their lead to 3-1. Dumba kicked away with the right pad of Bobrovsky over to the far boards. Panthers chance to break it out. 3-on-2. Stenlin off the right side. He's able to get some space across. Shot. They score. What a setup. What a finish. Evan Rodriguez on the one-timer. And the Panthers take a 4-1 lead.
Put on your dancing shoes.
Long pass out to center. Forsling poked it away from Kucherov, who backpedals, and he's going to grab this one. Now Vasilevskiy to the bench. The net empty at the Lightning end. Talk about desperate times, calling for desperate measures. A takeaway. Long shot, and they score on the empty net. Connor Verhaeghe from the neutral zone, and the Panthers take a 5-1 lead with 3:57 to play here in the third.
Good night, Irene.
Here's Mikula. He'll send it down to our left. He scores on the empty net. Mikko Mikula from long range. 6-1 Panthers. 15 seconds remaining here as the puck is loose at the line. Nick Cousins will hold it. Drops back across center and hands it to Nico Mikula. The fans to their feet. The final seconds will tick away. It's going to be a 6-1 win for the Panthers here in Game 5. That's the game. That's the series. The Panthers win this edition of the Sunshine State Showdown and punch a ticket to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, that was the Panthers getting by the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 5 of Round 1. If it feels like a long time ago, it's because it kind of was. That illustrates just how long these playoff runs go and what a grind it is for the teams. The Panthers, they won that game back on the 29th of April. Tomorrow is the 29th of June. So, again, the playoff runs, they take a toll. And there's a reason they take a toll. You're playing against the best teams, and you're playing for upwards of 2 months. And the Panthers got by the Lightning. That was a big series win for the Panthers. You go all the way back to the 21 playoffs, and the Panthers and the Lightning played that playoff series, captivated everybody. All eyes were on the Sunshine State Showdown. That was kind of the first example of it. And then the Panthers fell to the Lightning in the 22 playoffs in round two. And that was really the series. The Panthers, remember, they got swept after winning the President's Trophy round two back in 2022. And then that was the summer that the Matthew Tkachuk trade was made, and of course that Paul Maurice was brought in, and the Panthers kind of changed their DNA a little bit on the fly, and boy, has it ever worked out. And that was a big series win because the Panthers hadn't beaten Tampa Bay in a playoff series before. They hadn't beaten Andrei Vasilevskiy in a playoff series before, and they did so, and they did so swiftly in five games. That was round one. And then it was off to the Boston series, and a lot's been made of this one. This was the second year in a row the Panthers and the Bruins had played in the playoffs, the third time ever that the Panthers and the Bruins had played in the playoffs. The Panthers, well, we all know how the story ends. The Panthers, for the third time in history and second time in as many years, ousted the Boston Bruins from the playoffs. Now, this time around, Boston finished right behind the Panthers in the Atlantic Division standings. Remember last year, Boston had that 65-win season, and the Panthers were able to knock them off in seven games in round one. This time around, it was a round two matchup. The Panthers finished just ahead of Boston to win the Atlantic Division. Two really good hockey teams, two teams that, well, there's a history there. The players that were involved in last year's matchup certainly remembered last year's matchup and had different memories of last year's matchup, of course. So it was off to round two in a series where we had no shortage of physicality And Paul Maurice has said it numerous times that this was a mean series. This was as physical as it gets. And you sense that going back to the regular season. I know we throw it around a lot when games have a playoff type feel, but the Panthers-Bruins games during the regular season, especially those last two, the one in late March and the one in April, they really did have a playoff type feel. Boston had the Panthers number in four close games during the regular season, but in the playoffs, it was the Panthers in six getting by Boston. Here are the game six highlights from a tight one, a 2-1 Panthers win in game six against the Bruins back in round two, back on May 17th. Here are the highlights as they aired on Panthers Radio.
Verhaeghe in offensively, high slot, a shot blocked by DeBrusk. Loose puck in the far circle. Wallace gave it away in front. They score! Anton Lundell jumped on the loose puck, and he's able to snap it home from the high slot. And the Panthers have tied it at one with 7:16 to play here in the second. Anton Lundell jumped right on that turnover. And Matthew Tkachuk's going to start out of the zone. Tkachuk across Forsling, jumps in the rush, dropped it off. Lundell, a long shot, save, Swayman, rebound. Forsling shot, and he scores! Gus Forsling picks up the rebound, and the Panthers take a 2-1 lead with 1:33 to play in the third here in Game 6. Gus Forsling breaks the 1-1 tie! Off the draw, Boston has it, Marchand. Backhand out front. Sent around by Ekblad as he intercepted. Around it goes. It leaves the zone. The Panthers start to celebrate. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, one. The final horn sounds. And the Florida Panthers are heading to the Eastern Conference Final for the second straight season. They top the Boston Bruins 2-1 tonight and take the series in six games. The Panthers are moving on.
What a valiant effort from this Panther group as they end Boston's season for a second consecutive year.
That's turned into quite a rivalry, Panthers-Bruins, and no doubt the Boston Bruins, they're going to remember that going into next year. The Panthers have knocked them out of the playoffs 2 years in a row, and they always say rivalries go to another height when teams play in the playoffs, and especially when they play in the playoffs multiple times. And the Panthers have gotten the better of the Bruins on separate occasions, back-to-back years, this time in round two, this time in six games. The Panthers finished that one off. Game six in Boston back on May the 17th. Great goaltending performance from Sergei Bobrovsky and Gus Forsling with one of his big playoff moments, the eventual game winner late, giving the Panthers a 2-1 lead over the Bruins to secure the series. So then it was off to the Eastern Conference Final yet again for the Panthers, this time taking on the New York Rangers. And, well, I have a feeling this may not be the only Panthers-Rangers playoff matchup in this era. You figure the Panthers and the Rangers, both teams that'll be contenders again going into next season. Wouldn't surprise you to see them play another series against each other next spring. And folks forget maybe at this point in time, given the way things went, the Panthers having won the Stanley Cup, that the Panthers actually in this series against the Rangers, remember, they lost Game 2 and Game 3 in overtime to the New York Rangers and went into overtime in Game 4 and ended up winning on a Sam Reinhardt goal to tie the series at 2, but one bounced the other way and the Panthers were in danger of going down 3-1 in that Game 4. But they were able to get the series tied up and, well, didn't lose the rest of the way. The Panthers won the series in six games and getting to be a theme. Panthers winning series or clinching series with 2-1 victories. They did it in round two. We know they did it in Game 7 of the Cup Final, but they also did it in the Eastern Conference Final as well. Game 6 back on June the 1st. The Panthers at home. 2-1 winners over the Rangers to punch a ticket to the Cup Final for the second straight year. Here are the highlights as they aired on Panthers Radio.
Bennett now through the far circle, intercepted, and a clear from Gustafson. Bounces one into the neutral zone, and the Panthers will bring it back in quickly. Here's Bennett with room, left side, Rodriguez. Bennett a shot, and he scores! Top shelf, off the bar and in, and the Panthers strike first with 48 and a half seconds to go here in the first period. It's 1-0 Panthers.
Sam Bennett continues his playoff prowess.
Panarin peels off to the boards, takes a look around the offensive end. A shot blocked by Anton Lundell, and he'll chip it up the near side. A foot race between Luostarinen and Keandre Miller, and Luostarinen wins that battle. Lundell in front, and they score! It was sent back door for Tarasenko, and the Panthers take a 2-0 lead with 10:52 to go here in the third period. What a feed out in front, and what a finish as Tarasenko jams it home. Lundell plays it down to our left. To the final 10 seconds we go. Zibanejad had to play it. He'll fire it out of his own rink line. Mikkola there, 5 seconds. Mikkola is going to hold this over on the far boards. The final seconds tick away. And the Florida Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final. The Panthers are Eastern Conference champions for the second straight year. The Panthers take game 6 over the Rangers. 2-1 the final. The Panthers are moving on.
4 big bites out of the apple, and it is finished. The Florida Panthers punch their ticket back to the Stanley Cup Final and beat the New York Rangers in 6 games here on home ice.
So that was reliving the clincher in the Eastern Conference Final, Game 6, as we take you through all the series clinchers from this Panthers playoff run. That was back on June the 1st, the Panthers 2-1 winners over the Rangers. Mention, oddly enough, the Panthers clinched the second, third, and, well, the Cup Final, all with 2-1 victories. So that takes us to the last one, the most recent one. It was back on Monday, the Panthers finishing off the Stanley Cup Final, winning their first Stanley Cup, Game 7 against the Edmonton Oilers, and the Panthers took it by a 2-1 final score. I know we had it for you right off the top tonight, but we played all the other clinchers, so we can't leave out the biggest one. Here is the way the Cup Final ended, as you heard it right here on Panthers Radio.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Verhaeghe works the end boards then, has it the trapezoid, Rodriguez near side, the power play's over, shot tip, they score, Rodriguez got it on net, it was tipped out in front, and the Panthers have the first one, here in Game 7, 15:33 to go in the first, and the Panthers are on the board, it was Carter Verhaeghe in front getting a stick on it.
Out to the right point for CeCe, down along the boards, then Dreisaitl, Fogel cuts out front, and a save by Bobrovsky, and then it's pushed away out of harm's way by Kulikov, and the Panthers break it out quickly. Here's Reinhardt at the right wing side. Reinhardt to the right circle. A shot, and he scores! Sam Reinhardt gives the Panthers a 2-1 lead here in Game 7. 4:49 to play here in the middle frame. And Sam Reinhardt out of the right circle gives the Panthers the lead.
McDavid out to the line, a drive and a save made by Bobrovsky that time on Bouchard. Dreisaitl up top. Ekholm across one time. Bouchard, save made by Bobrovsky with the pad. Out to the line again, Bouchard. He'll hold it for the Oilers. Long shot in front of chance. Whacked at. And somehow, some way, that stays out of the net.
Oh my goodness, wow.
What a pile up down there. And somehow Bobrovsky on top of it. And Zach Hyman looked like he had a wide open net and he wasn't able to cash in. And the Panthers remain up a goal with 7:02 to go here in the third. 23 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. Fans to their feet. Bouchard, pass missed, Dreisaitl. Down to our right, Forsling in the corner. He'll try and hold this. 10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making,
yeah!
Is a reality.
Whoa!
The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida.
I've done my sentence.
Well, there you have it. That was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Another 2-1 win for the Panthers in a series clincher. And that was the way the playoff story would end. And the Panthers taking home the hardware, their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. So reliving all the series clinchers there. Can't get enough of that. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Hopefully everybody continues to enjoy it. Parade's coming up on Sunday at 11. We're going to talk about the parade. We're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about the scene at Sphere coming up on the other side of the break, because Jameson Olive, he's out there in Vegas. And he's going to join us coming up next. So we'll talk about everything that's going on out there. We'll talk about the playoff run. Plus, Jameson, what he's been doing all day. Panthers don't have a first-round pick, so we'll find out how he's been spending his time. Jameson Olive joins us next from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast, as we continue along here on the annual draft spectacular. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. I'm Doug Plagans. This is the Panthers annual draft show right here on 560 Sports WQAM.
My curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all.
Let's get back to the NHL draft, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks on the home of the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the annual draft spectacular here on 560 WQAM, the Panthers draft special. And while the draft proceedings are in full force out there in Vegas, we'll update you on all the proceedings as we've seen them. The picks continue to roll in. Right now, the New York Islanders are on the clock, so we'll have that coming up in just a few moments. But joining us from Sphere in Vegas, from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast, and the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast, he is Jameson Olive, kind enough to stop by. Jameson, how are you? And how is Sphere technology put up a heck of a fight, threw us some curveballs, but we win again, and we get you right here on the draft show.
So, Doug, they spent billions of dollars, I assume, on the Sphere, and there's no cell service, and the Wi-Fi is not great. So they skimped there. So I'm actually outside the Sphere right now. It's 106 degrees in Vegas. I'm in a jacket. It's going great.
Well, it's a dry heat. I'm sure that reassurance isn't helping you right now.
Yeah, I left the wet heat of Florida for the dry heat of Vegas. Yeah, I'm changing things up.
It's we thank you very much for braving the elements and taking some time out for us. Well, can you take us inside? What is the scene like? Because on TV, it does look like a pretty spectacular show. It looks like as unique a setting as you're going to get. What are some of the big things you've noticed there?
No, it really is cool. They definitely went all out. I don't know if I could do it every year. It strains the neck a bit. You spend most of the time just looking directly up at the ceiling to see all the cool stuff that's going on. But for the guys getting picked, I can't imagine a cooler way to hear your name called than, you know, to have that happen and then have your face and your highlights throughout the entire Sphere. So a really cool spectacle. And, you know, for the NHL, you got to give them props for, you know, trying something different with the NHL draft.
And that is going on right now as we speak. Round one continuing out at Sphere in Vegas. Have there been any wow moments at the draft yet? Anything that's caused everybody to raise an eyebrow? Any gasps? I know the first pick overall, we've known who that was going to be since before last year's draft. It was a foregone conclusion. But any big moments, any curveballs so far that you've noticed? Anything that's caused people to react in a surprised manner?
That one trade we had, was that pick 11 or 12, just because that exploded on the Sphere, that giant, you know, trade alert thing, and kind of caught everyone off guard. And so when you see a trade alert that massive, it kind of sent the whole arena into a little bit of a frenzy, because you always, you know, when you hear trade alert at the NHL draft, it could be anything. It could be a superstar moving. It could be just a pick for a pick. It ended up being just a team moving a couple picks. But you never know what you're going to get when it comes to draft trades.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, kind enough to stop by. Jameson, what's the chatter been there in Vegas pertaining to the Florida Panthers and the Panthers being the Stanley Cup champions? What kind of conversations have you had with people as far as reminiscing now over what happened back on Monday night?
Oh, it's been great. A lot of congratulations. That's just for me. I only imagine what Bill Zito and the Hockey Ops guys are getting. But, you know, as you know, Doug, it's a small family in the NHL. So all the people we're seeing congratulating us are people we've known for a long time. You know, when people get into the NHL, they usually stay for a while and they usually stay with the same team for a while. So it's been great. Even my buddies from the Edmonton Oilers, you know, that was a hard-fought series, but they were one of the first guys to congratulate me when I got here. They're a good group over there. So, yeah, it's definitely a Panther celebration. And they even, before the draft got underway, played kind of the Panthers Stanley Cup champions highlight on the Sphere before the broadcast went live. So that was great to see.
Yeah, that's got to be exciting out there. And the Panthers getting that well-deserved recognition. And on that note, Jameson, has it set in for you? I know you had to pack up and head right out to the draft less than 48 hours after the Panthers won the Stanley Cup. Has it set in for you that now we can use the phrase Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers come the fall? We're going to be able to use the phrase defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. Has it completely set in for you, or is it going to take to the parade on Sunday for that to happen?
You know, I think that obviously the night of was a really emotional, special night and moment. And it really sank in then, and it was just so special and so awesome. And, you know, getting a drink from the cup and, you know, see all the guys going crazy was just an unforgettable night for me. But ever since then, it's kind of been, like you said, back to work. Flew right to Vegas for the draft. We're going to come back about 2 hours before the parade, go right to the parade, right into free agency. So I think for me, the next real wow moment might not be until the banner raising. I think opening night, banner raising, you know, guys getting their rings, things like that. I think that's kind of the next big one for me. I think the rest of the summer is just kind of slowly soaking it in and enjoying it. And then I'm sure every other day we'll see something crazy going on social media as the cup kind of makes its rounds with each and every guy throughout the summer.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us. And something I asked Tim Reynolds about last hour, something I asked Billy Lindsay about back in hour number one, is now that you have had a little bit of time to digest it, what is, right now anyways, what is the lasting image, the first image that pops to mind for you, whether it be from the playoff run, from Game 7? For me, no matter how much I think about Game 7 and how many different things I kind of think about from the playoff run, Paul Maurice hoisting the Stanley Cup right now is the first thing that's popping into mind. That's kind of the lasting image for me from Monday night. What is yours? If you think about Monday, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
You know, it's tough. I kind of two moments. I say the first one is in game, and that was not any of the goals. It was actually when there was about 7 minutes left and that kind of mad scramble in front of Florida's net where, you know, Forsling, you know, gets in McDavid's way, then Montour disrupts Hyman, and then Bob makes a save, and Bennett and Lusterainen fly into the crease. And that was kind of that last real heart attack moment of that game. And after that, the Panthers, you kind of felt had it done, had it locked in. But a really crazy moment. And then, you know, post-game, I think it was honestly probably Barkey getting the cup, because I just love that he skated over there, was there for a second. And you could tell he kind of tried to yank it away from Gary Bettman. And Gary Bettman must be super strong because he yanked it back and was like, not yet, we're taking a photo, let's get this done. And then to see, you know, Barkey kick off his lap with a big let's go Panthers, and just to see that kind of emotion from Barkey. And honestly, that's been one of the coolest things out of all of this, is, you know, seeing Barkey let loose over these last couple of days and seeing Barkov go crazy. We know him as such a quiet, stoic guy, but this just brought out this new animal in him, and it's been so cool.
No, made you realize something we all knew all along, but I mean, he's wanted this so badly for so long, as have a lot of these guys, you know, guys that have, whether they're guys that are still just getting going in their hockey journey, like Anton Lundell, who's already gotten a ton of playoff experience, or guys like Dmitry Kulikov, Kyle Okposo, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, guys like that who've been at it for a long time and got to hoist that cup for the first time. It's been a special week. And again, just looking ahead now to what lies ahead here, Jameson, the parade coming up on Sunday. But as you mentioned, there is a hint of getting back to business as usual. The draft ongoing right now, free agency coming up. You had a chance to chat with Bill Zito earlier today. Any tidbits you picked up talking to the Panthers general manager?
Well, obviously, he hasn't slept much either. He's been a busy guy. He talked a lot about the draft prep and the free agency prep and kind of how you balance that throughout the playoffs. And he said the good thing is they actually learned how to do it just by going to the final last year. They kind of learned where they had the windows to get things done and what they needed to get done before obviously getting to the draft and free agency. So experience helps in all aspects, not just on the ice. So they're ready to go. They're ready for this draft. They're ready for free agency. You know, Bill Zito hammered at home, this team is going to, you know, spend to the cap. He's going to spend all the money. And that, you know, is just awesome to hear. They've been doing that. That's not a surprise, but just to hear it hammered home again is just another one of those reminders of, you know, these aren't your old Florida Panthers. These are the Stanley Cup champions. These are a team that year over year, you know, spend to the cap. They're right there at the top of the league. They're a destination franchise. So that was great to hear. You know, he was asked about Sam Reinhart. You know, they all want to get a deal done. They'll see if they can get it done. And that's kind of the same thing with all the big guns the Panthers have. They have a lot of guys that are due for big raises, which, you know, Reinhart, Montour, guys like that. And then they also have a lot of depth guys they got to bring back, you know, whether it's Kevin Stenlin, you know, Anton Lundell, who you mentioned. He's an RFA. He's still 22. Do you give him a bridge? Do you give him that big money deal? We'll find out. But the Panthers have double-digit free agents to take care of here, so a lot of work to do. And he also kind of talked about how things work, you know. Obviously, they have a plan where if they sign this guy, then that leaves space for these guys. And if they sign this guy, well, then that leaves space for these guys. So they have a bunch of contingencies. They're ready to go. So Bill, you know, he's in a good spot, as the Panthers are. And I think, you know, what I love most, too, is he was talking about just how cool it's been for Broward County to kind of have this moment. And he was talking about how the, him and the scouts or the hockey ops had a dinner the other night in South Florida. And they were on the intercoastal, and this boat comes by and recognizes them, and you know, starts going crazy. And then more boats show up, and it becomes this, you know, intercoastal boat parade of everyone going, you know, wild for the Stanley Cup in South Florida. So it was cool to hear his, you know, just thoughts on everything, and just to give him a moment too. I know he always likes to give everyone else credit, but Bill Zito deserves just a lion's share of so much of the, you know, the progress that's happened here with the Florida Panthers on ice and the improvements, and just, you know, turning them into the powerhouse they become.
Yeah, he's pushed all the right buttons, no doubt about that. And obviously, the job never ends for him. But I've had a lot of people ask me about some of those big decisions that are going to have to be made. And I've said, you know, I don't have any information that is different from anything anybody else out in the public has. But one thing we all know is that Bill Zito seems to always be a step or two ahead of all of us. And I know there's financial gymnastics that need to be done and things like that. But he's the man for it. He always has this roster and this team equipped for the following season, just like he did going into this year. And, of course, they went on to win the Stanley Cup. One last one for you, Jameson, before we let you get going here. Of course, I will need to know where you went for lunch today. But also, I need to know, we talked about it a little bit off air. Maybe you haven't dug into it too much, but you always have a favorite name going into the draft. I mentioned to you, right now I'm a big John Mustard fan. I think the Hockey News has him projected as a second-round pick, but his name's John Mustard. Whether they call him the Colonel, maybe they call him Dijon, I'm not sure, but there are a lot of different ways you can go with that. But a projected second-rounder seems like a guy that has a pretty high upside. Is there a favorite draft name that you have? I know that's long been your policy. You know, if you get late into the draft and you're not sure, just pick the guy with the coolest name.
You know what, Doug? For me, there isn't like a Luca Delbel Blues like there was a couple of years ago, or a Gunnar Wolf Fontaine. There isn't really that one name where I'm like, ah, that guy's my guy. Love that name. That's a pro right there. So Blade Jenkins was a great one back in the day. Remember that? Remember that guy?
Yes.
But you know, this year I haven't had a ton of time to dive into it. Like you said, we were right from cup to draft, so I've kind of just been exploring guys that could fall to the Panthers with that first pick in the third round in the '90s. And I'm thinking to myself, there's one name that pops out. He's projected anywhere from, you know, in the 70s to in the early hundreds. Depends where you look. But Atu's Koivu, and that's Saku Koivu's sons, actually, in this year's draft. And you know what, Doug? If you're the Florida Panthers, you see pedigree, you see Finland. Like, that's a win for me. That's the guy I'm taking if he's on the board there in the third round. So we'll see what happens. But that's kind of the one little name I'm keeping an eye on right now heading into tomorrow.
Yeah, Atu's Koivu, a center, and his dad was one of my all-time favorite players back in his era. Saku was a great center and a great just a great master for the game playing there in Montreal, and a guy that we could all root for back in the day during his playing career. If you see the Mustards, we're pulling for him. We're pulling for him, and you can let him know that. But Jameson Olive, as always, thanks very much for stopping by live from Sphere out in Vegas. Jameson, we'll let you get out of the heat, get back into what I would imagine being the air-conditioned confines of Sphere, and continue enjoying the draft festival. What did you have for lunch today, by the way, before I let you go?
You're going to be disappointed. So Shake Shack, and I know that's tough when you have In-N-Out right there, but it's 106 degrees, and In-N-Out's a bit of a farther walk, so we sacrificed and we did Shake Shack today.
I can get with that. I get it. Convenience. You're working. You want to make sure you get from point A to point B as efficiently as you can. Jameson, enjoy Vegas. Enjoy Sphere. Enjoy the draft. We'll see you on Sunday. Thanks, as always, for stopping by.
Thanks for having me on, Doug. See you.
That is Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast. You know him from the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast as well. And joining us from Sphere there in Vegas, where, again, he had to walk outside so he can hear us. It looks like there's a lot going on in there just based on what's going on through the TV screen. And also, we tested the lines. We tested the lines in cell service. Well, it was shaky, to say the least. And that's why, through the marvels of modern technology and the technology and the workings of our man Danny Garcia there on the other side of the glass, we had other ways, we had other methods to get Jameson Olive onto the air and out to you. And that was crystal clear reception there, Danny, through the methods that we have getting Jameson Olive onto the air from Sphere in Vegas, where, again, he said it was 106 degrees outside Sphere. I hope it's cooler than that inside Sphere. I'm looking at it on the TV right now. It's visually impressive feature, visually impressive structure there out in Vegas, as the Nashville Predators just made their first round selection. And we'll tell you about that and more coming up in just a few moments as we cruise along. Reminder, folks, all the information about the parade coming up on Sunday, that's going to be at floridapanthers.com. So you can go there, find all the info. Also, folks, all the Panthers merchandise, Pantherland at the FTL War Memorial has a great selection. Was over at Pantherland at Amerant Bank Arena today and picked up a few things myself. Also, flateamshop.com from your phone, from your laptop. You can log right on and get the latest Panthers merchandise there, all that championship merchandise, everything like that. You'll want to get that and get it soon at flateamshop.com. Those suite and group deposits, folks, get on the list. Get to be first in line to select your games and suites for next season. FloridaPanthers.com/nightly suites. You can get your groups, your group deposits in FloridaPanthers.com/group. Set up that group outing at Amerant Bank Arena for next season. You can also call 954-835-PUCK. And you can lock in your season tickets for next season as well. Don't miss your chance to become a territory member for next season. Following a sellout of lower bowl and club level seating this season, your Cats have limited availability. Become part of the territory. Don't wait. Secure your seats today. 954-835-PUCK or FloridaPanthers.com. That is where to go. Folks, we've come up on the end of the program. One more segment to go for you. We'll hear from a couple of the Panthers during the Stanley Cup celebration. Some sound from Sam Bennett and Carter Verhaeghe coming up on the other side. We'll go back through what's going on through round one of the draft, at least to where we are right now. Looks like the Toronto Maple Leafs are on the clock as we speak. So I would imagine by the time we get back to you and get through everything else that's happened in round one, that's probably going to be the most recent pick that we tell you about. And it concerns an Atlantic Division team and a team that's trying to track down the Panthers. They're trying to be the Panthers. The Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, coming off a season in which they were bounced in the first round by Boston, who was eventually bounced by the Panthers in round two. So Toronto making their selection. We'll tell you about that and more coming up on the other side. And we'll put this one to bed as we reminisce back through the season that was. We look ahead to next season. And, well, we look back at what's gone on through round one of the draft to this point. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. Doug Plagans here with you for another segment. And then we'll put the annual draft special to bed. The Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, by the way, hosting their parade Sunday, 11 a.m. FloridaPanthers.com has all the info. Back for one more segment here to wrap up the draft show right here on 560 Sports WQAM.
Time for more of the NHL draft. Fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks on the home of the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Still soaking it all in, the 2024 Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers has a nice ring to it. Doug Plagans here with you for about another 8 minutes or so as we, wow, hard to believe, 3 hours. Time flies when you're having fun here. And big thanks to Billy Lindsay back in hour number one, Tim Reynolds in hour number two, Jameson Olive last segment joining us from out in Vegas, where the Anaheim Ducks just made a pick. They're flying through this first round now. No pun intended, the Ducks flying through the first round. We'll get to all that coming up on as far as how this first round is shaped up. Some sound bites, though, from the Cup clincher post game on the ice. Some sound from Sam Bennett and then Carter Verhaeghe coming your way. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. I'm Doug Plagans with you again for another 8 minutes or so. Here is Sam Bennett after the Panthers won the Stanley Cup back in that Game 7 victory back on Monday night. Sam Bennett on winning, and well, then he goes on to say what he plans to do with the Cup.
It's every single guy. You can't pick one guy because every single guy was so committed to winning, so committed to doing whatever it took to win. And I love this group. It's a really special group. Me and my dad, ever since I can remember, we always said if I ever won the Stanley Cup, the first thing we would eat would be Captain Crunch out of the Stanley Cup. So I gotta hold true to my 6-year-old self that said I would do that, and You know, I'm pretty excited. My dad's pretty excited for that moment, too.
So Sam Bennett right there says that he would eat Captain Crunch out of the Stanley Cup. Plans to eat Captain Crunch.
You got to go Crunch Berries on that one, right, Doug?
The Stanley Cup. You know, I like the Crunch Berries. I don't like the Oops All Berries. I know sometimes they like to bust that one out. Do you have a cereal, Danny, that you would want to eat out of the Stanley Cup?
Ooh, that's tough. I got so many. Apple Jacks.
Apple Jacks.
I'm an Apple Jacks
Apple
guy.
Jacks. That's a good one. You know, I think it's not the cereal that I tend to buy all the time, but for some reason, Cinnamon Toast Crunch might be my favorite.
It's a strong one.
You can snack on it. You can eat it out of the bowl. It's a good cereal. That would be my, but you know what? It goes along with Sam Bennett too, because the way that he hits on the ice, you could call him Captain Crunch. That would kind of fit him, but also he's going to eat Captain Crunch out of the Stanley Cup. And those are the stories you love to hear. He says that, again, he's got to stay true to his six-year-old self. He and his dad said that that's what they would do. And he's going to do that when he has his opportunity. I guarantee you that. And hopefully somebody gets a picture of it when that happens. Here's Sam Bennett also post-game following the Game 7 victory. What went into the Game 7 win?
You know, I think we finally, we relaxed a little bit. We got out of our heads. I mean, this is a moment that everyone has dreamt of their whole life. And, you know, we were that close. I think we got a little too far ahead of ourselves. We finally took a step back tonight and, played a little more free. And it paid off. You focus on just the game. And I mean, it's impossible to ignore all the other distractions, but you really just got to focus on the game. And that's what we did tonight. You could see it. We were played freer. We removed all those distractions, and we got it done.
Yeah, it was kind of a regrouping for the Panthers. Oddly enough, you look at the series now, and years down the road, people are going to look at it, and wow, the Panthers took the first three, the Oilers took the next three, and then the Panthers won Game 7. But as Sam Bennett said right there, it was kind of a reset, regroup, a return to form in Game 7, and the Panthers played a really strong Game 7, and that was just a great hockey game. And talked about it earlier. I know it's easy for us to say because the Panthers won the game, won the series, won the cup, but that was a classic Game 7. And, you know, you're going to see that one played back, whether it be on NHL Network, different places. They're going to be playing that game back for years to come. It's a classic game to finish off a classic series. Sam Bennett, as that soundbite was playing, it made me kind of think, and Danny, you might agree with me here. I love cereal. It's, you know, there are cereals you like better than others, but I can get with pretty much any cereal. And out of the Stanley Cup, I feel like any cereal would taste good because it was coming out of the Stanley Cup. I think I could probably enjoy just about any cereal under the sun as long as it's coming out of the Stanley Cup. Here's Carter Verhaeghe post-game after the Game 7 win. We'll get to some results from the NHL draft first round here in just a moment. But this is Carter Verhaeghe with some thoughts immediately post-game after the Game 7 win and what it meant to do it at home.
Yeah, to play in front of our home fans, it's amazing. I mean, we love playing here. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. They supported us all year, and to do it here at home in front of our home fans, I think it was meant to be. So it feels really good. I'm just relieved a little bit, and to get it done, it feels amazing. To do it with all these group of guys, it feels so good. I mean, it's special for sure. And to do it here at home and this group, we've gone through so much together, it feels amazing.
So Carter Verhaeghe right there, some thoughts post-game. Should also mention today some other news that came down. The first six players for the four teams playing in the Four Nations Cup tournament. Matthew Tkachuk named as one of the first six players to Team USA. And also Gus Forsling was named as one of the first six players to Team Sweden. And earlier today, as far as that goes, there were also Alexander Barkov named as one of the first six to Team Finland. So Panthers with some strong representation already as far as that Four Nations Cup is concerned. Quick look back at what's going on in round one of the NHL draft before we put this program to bed. There was a trade just made. Colorado acquired Utah's
second this year, their second next year, and a third this year. Now, remember, the Arizona Coyotes had piled up a lot of picks the last couple of years, so they have a ton of assets to play with. They have a ton of picks to shuffle around, and they're using them. And they wanted to get back into the first round. They did that, and right now they're on the clock with the Colorado first-round pick at number 24 that they just acquired. Shortly before that, Anaheim and Toronto had made a trade. Anaheim acquired the Leafs first rounder in exchange for Anaheim's second first round pick, as well as a second rounder in this draft. That'll be tomorrow. Going back through everything that happened round pick by pick, not round by round. They're still in the first round. Going all the way back, San Jose number one, Macklin Celebrini. Chicago number two, Artem Levshinov, a defenseman. Anaheim at number three took Beckett Senecky out of the Ontario Hockey League, a winger. Columbus at number four took center Caden Lindstrom out of Medicine Hat in the Western Hockey League. Montreal at number five, Ivan Demidov from St. Petersburg over in Russia. He's a left winger, apparently a pretty talented left winger at that. Tiija Ginla, son of longtime NHLer Jerome Ginla, number six to Utah. He is a left winger out of Kelowna in the Western Hockey League. At number seven, Ottawa took Carter Yakimchuk, a defenseman out of Calgary in the Western Hockey League. Eighth overall, Seattle chose center Berkeley Catton from Spokane in the Western Hockey League. Back to the OHL for pick nine, Calgary selected defenseman Zane Parekh out of Saginaw. At number 10, New Jersey took defenseman Anton Siliev. He's been playing over in Russia. At number 11, San Jose, defenseman Sam Dickinson from London of the OHL. Minnesota at number 12, defenseman Z. Bouillem out of Denver of the NCAA ranks. Philadelphia at number 13, Jet Luchenko from Guelph of the Ontario Hockey League. He's a center. 14th overall, Buffalo took Konsta Helenius, a center out of Finland. 15th overall, Detroit, Michael Brancic-Nygaard out of Sweden. He's a right winger. 16th overall, St. Louis chose Adam Juracek, a defenseman out of the Czech League. Washington at number 17, Tarek Parashak from Prince George of the Western Hockey League. He's a right winger. Sasha Boisvert went to Chicago at number 18. He's playing for Muskegon in the USHL. Trevor Connolly to Vegas out of Tri-City in the Western Hockey League at number 19. Left winger Cole Iserman, not related to Steve, spelled differently, goes number 20 to the Islanders. Michael Haig to Montreal at number 21 from Chicago of the USHL. Nashville at number 22 took Igor Surin, a center out of Yaroslavl over in Russia. Anaheim at number 23, that pick they got from the Leafs. Stian Solberg, a defenseman from Norway, and then the most recent pick made, Cole Beaudoin from Barrie of the Ontario Hockey League, a center chosen by Utah, that pick they just got from Colorado, and that leaves the Boston Bruins about to go on the clock, and that takes us to the end of the program today as we finish off the draft special. Big thanks to Billy Lindsay for stopping by segment number one, Tim Reynolds in hour number two, Jameson Olive hour number three. If you missed any of it, it'll all be posted on WQAM.com for your listening pleasure. The annual draft show will get that out to you. You'll be able to get it in podcast form coming up very soon. For Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass, I'm Doug Plagans. Hopefully we see you at the parade coming up on Sunday. All the info at FloridaPanthers.com starts up at 11 a.m. If you can get there, you don't want to miss it. Folks, the phrase Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers has a really nice ring to it. Enjoy the celebration to the fullest all summer long, because there will be preseason games less than 3 months from now. Again, big thanks to all of you for tuning in, all season long. Again, to be able to bring and share all these moments to all of you, it means the world to us, means more than you'll ever know. So again, thanks for being along with us all season. And we will have the Panthers Insider Show coming up 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, the last one of those for the 23-24 season. Again, thanks for being with us all evening long. This has been the annual draft special, the Panthers annual draft special, right here on 560 Sports WQAM.
Time for more of the NHL draft, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks, on the home of the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
still soaking it all in. The 2024 Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers has a nice ring to it. Doug Plagan's here with you for about another 8 minutes or so as we, wow, hard to believe, 3 hours. Time flies when you're having fun here. And big thanks to Billy Lindsay back in hour number one, Tim Reynolds in hour number two, Jameson Olive last segment joining us from out in Vegas, where the Anaheim Ducks just made a pick. They're flying through this first round now. No pun intended, the Ducks flying through the first round. We'll get to all that coming up on as far as how this first round is shaped up. Some sound bites, though, from the Cup clincher post-game on the ice. Some sound from Sam Bennett and then Carter Verhaeghe coming your way. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. I'm Doug Plagans with you again for another 8 minutes or so. Here is Sam Bennett after the Panthers won the Stanley Cup back in that Game 7 victory back on Monday night. Sam Bennett on winning, and well, then he goes on to say what he plans to do with the Cup.
It's every single guy. It's, I mean, you can't pick one guy because every single guy was so committed to winning, so committed to doing whatever it took to win. And, yeah, I love this group. It's a really special group. Me and my dad, ever since I can remember, we always said if I ever won the Stanley Cup, the first thing we would eat would be Captain Crunch out of the Stanley Cup. So I gotta hold true to my six-year-old self that said I would do that. And I'm pretty excited. My dad's pretty excited for that moment too.
So Sam Bennett right there says that he would eat Captain Crunch out of the Stanley Cup, plans to eat Captain Crunch.
You got to go Crunch Berries on that one, right, Doug?
The Stanley Cup. I like the Crunch Berries. I don't like the Oops All Berries. I know sometimes they like to bust that one out. Do you have a cereal, Danny, that you would want to eat out of the Stanley Cup?
Ooh, that's tough. I got so many. Apple Jacks.
Apple Jacks.
An Apple Jacks guy.
Jackson. That's a good one. You know, it's, I think it's not the cereal that I tend to buy all the time, but for some reason, Cinnamon Toast Crunch might be my favorite.
It's a strong one.
You can snack on it. You can eat it out of the bowl. It's a good cereal. That would be my, but you know what? It goes along with Sam Bennett too, because the way that he hits on the ice, you could call him Captain Crunch. That would kind of fit him. But also, he's going to eat Captain Crunch out of the Stanley Cup. And those are the stories you love to hear. He says that again, he's got to stay true to his six-year-old self. He and his dad said that that's what they would do, and he's gonna do that when he has his opportunity. I guarantee you that. And hopefully, somebody gets a picture of it when that happens. Here's Sam Bennett, also post game following the Game 7 victory. What went into the Game 7 win?
Yeah, I think we finally. We relaxed a little bit. We got out of our heads. I mean, this is a moment that everyone has dreamt of their whole life. And, we were that close. I think we got a little too far ahead of ourselves. We finally took a step back tonight and, played a little more free. And it paid off. You focus on just the game. And, I mean, it's impossible to ignore all the other distractions, but you really just got to focus on the game. And, that's what we did tonight. You can see it. We were played freer. We removed all those distractions, and we got it done.
Yeah, it was kind of a regrouping for the Panthers. Oddly enough, you look at the series now, and years down the road, people are going to look at it, and wow, the Panthers took the first three, the Oilers took the next three, and then the Panthers won Game 7. But as Sam Bennett said right there, it was kind of a reset, regroup, a return to form in Game 7, and the Panthers played a really strong Game 7. And that was just a great hockey game, and talked about it earlier. I know it's easy for us to say because the Panthers won the game, won the series, won the cup, but that was a classic Game 7. And, you're going to see that one played back, whether it be on NHL Network, different places. They're going to be playing that game back for years to come. It's a classic game to finish off a classic series. Sam Bennett, as that soundbite was playing, it made me kind of think, and Danny, you might agree with me here. I love cereal. It's, there are cereals you like better than others, but I can get with pretty much any cereal. And out of the Stanley Cup, I feel like any cereal would taste good. because it was coming out of the Stanley Cup. I think I could probably enjoy just about any cereal under the sun as long as it's coming out of the Stanley Cup. Here's Carter Verhaeghe post-game after the Game 7 win. We'll get to some results from the NHL draft first round here in just a moment. But this is Carter Verhaeghe with some thoughts immediately post-game after the Game 7 win and what it meant to do it at home.
Yeah, to play in front of our home fans, it's amazing. I mean, we love playing here. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. They supported us all year, and to do it here at home in front of our home fans, I think it was meant to be. So it feels really good. I'm just relieved a little bit, and to get it done, it feels amazing. To do it with all these group of guys, it feels so good. I mean, it's special for sure. And to do it here at home and this group, we've gone through so much together, it feels amazing.
So Carter Verhaeghe right there, some thoughts post-game. Should also mention today some other news that came down. The first six players for the four teams playing in the Four Nations Cup tournament. Matthew Tkachuk named as one of the first six players to Team USA. And also Gus Forsling was named as one of the first six players to Team Sweden. And also earlier today, as far as that goes, there were also Alexander Barkov named as one of the first six to Team Finland. So Panthers with some strong representation already as far as that Four Nations Cup is concerned. Quick look back at what's going on in round one of the NHL draft before we put this program to bed. There was a trade just made. Colorado acquired Utah's second this year, their second next year, and a third this year. Now, remember, the Arizona Coyotes had piled up a lot of picks the last couple of years. So they have a ton of assets to play with. They have a ton of picks to shuffle around, and they're using them. And they wanted to get back into the first round. They did that. And right now they're on the clock with the Colorado first round pick at number 24 that they just acquired. Shortly before that, Anaheim and Toronto had made a trade. Anaheim acquired the Leafs first rounder in exchange for Anaheim's second first round pick, as well as a second rounder in this draft. That'll be tomorrow. Going back through everything that happened round pick by pick, not round by round. They're still in the first round. Going all the way back, San Jose number one, Macklin Celebrini. Chicago number two, Artem Levshinov, a defenseman. Anaheim at number three took Beckett Senecky out of the Ontario Hockey League, a winger. Columbus at number four took center Caden Lindstrom out of Medicine Hat in the Western Hockey League. Montreal at number five, Ivan Demidov from St. Petersburg over in Russia. He's a left winger, apparently a pretty talented left winger at that. Tiege Aginla, son of longtime NHLer Jerome Aginla, number six to Utah. He is a left winger out of Kelowna in the Western Hockey League. At number seven, Ottawa took Carter Yakimchuk, a defenseman out of Calgary in the Western Hockey League. Eighth overall, Seattle chose center Berkeley Catton from Spokane in the Western Hockey League. Back to the OHL for pick nine, Calgary selected defenseman Zane Parekh out of Saginaw. At number 10, New Jersey took defenseman Anton Siliev. He's been playing over in Russia. At number 11, San Jose, defenseman Sam Dickinson from London of the OHL. Minnesota at number 12, defenseman Zeev Buyum out of Denver, the NCAA ranks. Philadelphia at number 13, Jet Luchenko from Guelph of the Ontario Hockey League. He's a center. 14th overall, Buffalo took Konsta Helenius, a center out of Finland. 15th overall, Detroit, Michael Brancic-Nygaard out of Sweden. He's a right winger. 16th overall, St. Louis chose Adam Juracek, a defenseman out of the Czech League. Washington at number 17, Tarek Parashak from Prince George of the Western Hockey League. He's a right winger. Sasha Boisvert went to Chicago at number 18. He's playing for Muskegon in the USHL. Trevor Connolly to Vegas out of Tri-City in the Western Hockey League at number 19. Left winger Cole Iserman, not related to Steve, spelled differently, goes number 20 to the Islanders. Michael Hague to Montreal at number 21 from Chicago of the USHL. Nashville at number 22 took Igor Surin, a center out of Yaroslavl over in Russia. Anaheim at number 23, that pick they got from the Leafs. Stian Solberg, a defenseman from Norway, and then the most recent pick made, Cole Beaudoin from Barrie of the Ontario Hockey League, a center chosen by Utah, that pick they just got from Colorado, and that leaves the Boston Bruins about to go on the clock. And that takes us to the end of the program today as we finish off the draft special. Big thanks to Billy Lindsay for stopping by segment number one, Tim Reynolds in hour number two, Jameson Olive hour number three. If you missed any of it, it'll all be posted on WQAM.com for your listening pleasure. The annual draft show will get that out to you. You'll be able to get it in podcast form coming up very soon. For Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass, I'm Doug Plagans. Hopefully we see you at the parade coming up on Sunday. All the info at FloridaPanthers.com. Starts up at 11 a.m. If you can get there, you don't want to miss it. Folks, the phrase Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers has a really nice ring to it. Enjoy the celebration to the fullest all summer long, because there will be preseason games less than 3 months from now. Again, big thanks to all of you for tuning in, all season long. Again, to be able to bring and share all these moments to all of you, it means the world to us, means more than you'll ever know. So again, thanks for being along with us all season. And we will have the Panthers Insider Show coming up 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, the last one of those for the 23-24 season. Again, thanks for being with us all evening long. This has been the annual draft special, the Panthers annual draft special, right here on 560 Sports WQAM.